Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Second Guest Show. Mike DeTeo, Bobby Hebert, we're live from the WWL studios here on Porter Street in New Orleans. Got a lot to second guess after this weekend. LSU, Saints, disappointment on both sides of the football. Bobby, it's we talk about this kind of off the air, but on the air, so to speak. If somebody gave you the stat sheet before a game and said, okay, this is what it's going to turn out to be, and I can tell off of three things if the Saints lose. One, Saints have 8 penalties, 83 yards. The Packers have 2 for 10 yards. Secondly, you lost the giveaway-takeaway ratio. That was a crucial fumble because of the timing of it.
Right.
You had just stopped the Packers, got them off the field on the fourth down, the ball just gets, batted out of Taysom's hand. And that, to me, was a big play in the game. Because of the moment in time, you got them off the field. Now you're giving it right back to them on a short field. And thirdly, and we talk about this weekly, 20 rushes for the Saints. When it falls into that 15, 19, 20, the Saints don't win a lot of games that way. It's normally 25 or more.
Right.
And the Saints have won 92% of their games when they rush the football 30 times or more in a game. So just those three stats sort of tells you the whole story of this football game. Because if you look at the other statistics for this game, a lot of it is really even.
It's a wash.
Even like third down, third 5 down. Of 11. Both sides there, the big plays certainly given up in the secondary. Bob, again, we go back to it now. This football team has had 37 penalties for now a league-high 331 yards. Bob, you ain't winning a lot of games like that. And that's got to be the thing that drives coaching staff up the wall in that so many penalties and the yardage that's given up through that.
Well, is it I don't know, your pros, is it just, when you're younger, a younger team, you'd say, well, that's a reflection on the head coach. But it's not like we've seen this in the past, and Sean has been here since 2006, where you're leading the NFL. So is the players being lackadaisical and undisciplined? When I'm watching them in practice, they only had 14 practices, and the defense was doing awesome and really making plays in the secondary. But there was no officials. Where all of a sudden you could have seen a nice play in practice, well, then you might not see maybe a little tug of the arm or something. That, the DBs, they get all fired up, but then official would have called that as a penalty. So the bottom line is, if we keep shooting ourselves in the foot with penalties, now Mike always say this, we were right there on the cusp. 9 penalties are 100 yards, that's like giving up a touchdown. But we had 8, so you might as well have been 9, because the Packers were not penalized. Like you said, 2 for 10 yards.
That's nothing in today's game. That's zilch. Now, a couple of those penalties against the Saints, man, that was really questionable, especially that horse collar. Man, I don't know what that official was looking at. That wasn't no horse collar that.
But why couldn't you review that?
It's non-reviewable on that part.
You got to get that right.
But again, same thing with Taysom's block, that – Yeah. Again, that's refereeing 101 and not knowing the rules. So it's early in the season for the referees too. But again, I'm not blaming it on them. The number of pass interference and pass holdings and everything in the secondary, Bob, that's disturbing because this isn't a young secondary. You got veterans back there. If it's Jack Rabbit,
Lattimore,
Jenkins, Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore. Now, Chauncey Garner-Johnson's in his second year, but still, you got a lot of guys with some veteran mileage there in that secondary making those penalties, and that's something. I know one thing. Matt Stafford's looking at that film. He's throwing up that 50-50 shot and saying, go ahead and stop it. Go ahead and stop it. And I might get a shot with the catch. I also might get a shot with the penalty.
Well, there's no way the Lions should beat the Saints. But look, they just beat the undefeated Cardinals. And they have Matthew Stafford, who's going to push the envelope and those shot plays and all. So he's going to put a lot of pressure on our secondary. So, Mike, shame on the Saints if they don't win that game. I look at it, Mike, shame on the Saints if they don't go on a run here. If you're supposed to be Super Bowl or bust, right? Come on. You're playing at Detroit. You got the Chargers at home on Monday night. You have a bye. Then Carolina at home and at Chicago. The Bears are pretenders before you play Tampa Bay on November the 8th. So, Mike, I'm telling you, that's why I want to panic, because we could be 5-2 if we're the team we think we are, as far as, you know, Super Bowl or bust, and amongst the best in the National Football League.
But, Bob, every year is different.
No, yeah, yeah.
And I know a couple years back this team started 0-2 and it made a really hard run.
Yeah, they ended up winning, Mike. That, like you said, in 2017 we're 0-2 and won 11 of the final 14 games.
So, but every year is a little different. And, man, listen, 2020, who knows what the world is going to happen as this season progresses. But the fact that you had a veteran team coming back with a lot of the pieces that were in place, that's what makes it, I think, for everybody even a little bit more disturbing. That you should have had like a leg up on a lot of teams. Now, Green Bay didn't have a lot of turnover. That part I get. But the Raiders are a different story.
Yeah.
That's a totally different story.
Mike, I would have thought we could be 3-0. 2-1 or 1-2. I would have thought, look how Tampa Bay, maybe lose to the Buccaneers, beat the Raiders, and lose to the Packers. And then look at strength of schedule and all that. Like every year I know is a new year, but I would not have thought that'd be a 1-2 and one of those losses would be against the Raiders. Look at what happened with the Patriots and the Raiders. The Patriots ran the ball 38 times. What would they have, like 250 yards rushing? You got to keep running.
They fed it to him.
Okay, if you look in the first half, we had over 100 yards rushing. We had 12 yards rushing in the second half. And we end up having only 20 carries. Mike, now think about this. And I think that was the case also against the Raiders. When you average 4.5 or more, we were averaging
six
yards a run. There's no excuse you don't have, in this type of game, 30 rushing attempts. You know why? Because you keep Aaron Rodgers also on the sideline. And so when you break it down and you look at time of possession, instead of it being the Packers up like 31-40 to 28-20, that would have been flipped even more. Because that's one thing. What happened even in the playoff game last year when the 49ers played the Packers? Then they, like, run
you
over.
You needed a shovel to get them off the floor. Ran it at them.
Right. So I mean, it might say limited amount of plays and all that, but Green Bay, now, it was
here's
so
my
even.
Thing about
it
Green Bay.
It was like 59 to 58. They both had the same amount of plays.
They didn't really set the world afire running the ball. They only averaged like 3.1 yards. But they ran the ball 26 times. Man, Matt LaFleur is committed to the running game. No matter what, he's going to run it.
Even though he has Aaron Rodgers, that he's still going to be committed to the run. But watch as the Packers season unfolds. I guarantee, even though they have Aaron Rodgers, can make all the throws, they're still going to run the football.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, in doing shows this morning, you could tell, even in Green Bay, is, man, they'd love to have another top pass rusher, Green Bay, because that team would really be really tough out if you had one. But, man, you know, all this play action stuff, almost, Bob, like they hadn't seen it before. The Saints defense was confused
with
it. Well,
they did that bootleg, but it wasn't front side. It was the backside. Like leaking across. And I mean, you know how easy that throw is? It was like 8 to 15 yard type gains. I mean, come on.
It's not like Aaron hasn't done that a lot during his career. He's done it a ton.
And even Sean Payton in the post game, he says, yeah, he goes, I want some answers too. Because, you know, Sean's running the offense. But, you know, I would say because of the expectations, I'm more disappointed right now with the overall defense.
No question.
And not getting off the field on third down. Look, last year we were outstanding on third down. If your defense is getting it done, Mike, you're only giving up 30-some percent, not 45, 50, 55% around there, because that is not winning football. And look what Coach Allen, what Dennis Allen said going into this game after watching the Raiders. The biggest factor in that Raiders game was the fact that we didn't get off the field on third down, which we've typically been a lot better doing, because he's looking at what they did last year, and it's all the same players. But we're not getting off the field on third down like we did last season at 13-3 season.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think, you know, when you look back at it, people say, well, look, Drew Brees don't throw the football deep downfield. Well, that part, the Saints are going to have to extend the field more. There's no question about it. But Drew was never this long deep ball thrower to begin with. The continuity on offense, Bob, is the other part that's a little bit surprising. That this team seems a little bit out of sync offensively, that nothing is quite going right. And I get it. They take it, may take away a part of the field, but you got to stretch it. Because if not, now these defenses are going to be smart. They're going to condense the field. They'll give you that little dink and dunk. Now, Kamara had an unbelievable game, just unreal in what he was able to do.
That was one of the greatest plays in Saints history when he broke those four tackles. Mike, as far as a running back in a simple, like, dump off, you talk about Yak. That's Yak plus. I mean, that was an amazing play. Alvin Kamara came to play. Mike, he had 197 total yards. Okay, and I said that he's doing his job because he has that kind of ability. I even put this pressure on Reggie Bush. I remember Darren Sproles, Alvin Kamara. You look at how they contribute in the passing game or running, 150. If Alvin Kamara against the Lions gets 150, excuse me, or more, he's getting the job done.
Yeah, no question about that. And he did his job last night. And also, too, man, you watched Eric McCoy. You talk about hustle, getting downfield, throwing that key block. And Eric really had a strong game for the Saints. But again, people say, well, you're missing Michael Thomas. Well, they were missing Davante Adams. Well, yeah, okay, you're missing.
So that's a push.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a wash. It's even.
The Saints didn't have Davenport or Onyemata. Well, they didn't have Kenny Clark,
who's probably one of the best in the whole NFL.
Interior players in the game. So, okay, it's a push across the board. You got to fight your way through injuries. But I do think now this is back-to-back games that you have not seen the Saints push the ball farther downfield. And I just think even if you take a shot at it, you got to get that safety. You got to get them safeties out of that box.
And Mike, and I'm telling you, at practice, Drew was hitting those throws that he's hit the last three seasons. I'm talking about those 45, 50-yard shot plays, whether it was Emmanuel Sanders, Traquan, whoever. He was hitting those type plays. But you know what? Where all of a sudden he's going from now, that wasn't the case yesterday against the Packers. But you remember the Bucs in the Raiders game, he turned into a 65% passer instead of 75%.
That was his best game last night
season. As far as accuracy. But where he was not precise, like even in the Raiders game, and it could be a combination, the receiver quarterback being on the same page, was the short passing game where he's like 100% as far as being
and that's
accurate.
That the chemistry is not there. You can just see it out on the field. They're not quite in sync yet. And you can say, well, they had no preseason. Well, the other teams don't have it either.
Well,
everybody's in the same kind of playing field.
And Mike, it'd be interesting to see what's the status of Jerry Cook, who left the game with his ankle. Will he be ready to roll against the Lions?
That was a lot more serious injury.
Well, if you're on the cart, anytime
when they come get you
on the cart, yeah.
And I always think a big man when he's got any type of ankle knee injury, that takes him a little bit longer than that receiver or that defensive back.
Because all that weight.
You got a lot of torque, so to speak, that you're pushing on there. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870. Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTeglia, Bobby Hebert. We're live from the WWL Radio Studios here on Porter Street in New Orleans. Show sponsored by the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mr. Dave Hilbert will be joining us at 5:10 this afternoon. At 6:10 from ESPN, Once a Purple Night, Always a Purple Night, Stan Verrett will come on with us and talk a little NFL action. And then at 6:30 tonight, we throw it to the Saints Radio Network. Zach Streif takes over as the host. It'll be the Saints Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton and his guest tonight, almost said Matt, but it's Dan Campbell, the tight end assistant head coach for the Saints. So Dan Campbell will be the guest tonight, who is the Saints tight ends coach and assistant head coach. We're going to go to Hollywood and Thibodeau. Hollywood, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hello, Bobby. Hello, Mike. How y'all doing?
All right, sir.
All right, Hollywood.
Hey, Bobby, what happened to the Saints' defensive line with Cam Jordan and all that? They don't put no pressure on the quarterback, and when they do put pressure on the quarterback breaks contaminated. He's wide open. He can run all day long.
The last two games, I've been extremely disappointed. I don't know if Cam Jordan has ever had that disappointing games in his career back-to-back. I mean,
right.
He's like MIA,
right.
Missing an act. And Mike, I don't know. He seems like he's ready to roll. I heard him in the during the week. He said we got humbled. We got to turn it around. But I'm like, who's blocking him? Was he like? Is he
again? He's getting some double, but that's happened in the past.
And he
you
still
get
had
double
success.
Teamed or you get chipped or whatever, and he still worked his way around it. So. You know, that's a part of it up front, man, because we know just how dominant Cam Jordan can be as a player, not only in run defense, but also in his ability as a pass rusher. That hasn't been there, just has not been there. And again, the disappointment, too, with Davenport not being able to get on the field. You know, so Trey right. Hendrickson, he's the guy getting you pressure. And before Grandison went down with the injury, we saw he was able to get a little bit of pressure. But again, man, for what you got.
Trey
you know,
Hendrickson's
you, been disappointed that, you know, that Cam, who has fought through this double team and chips and all in the past, he hasn't been able to do it early this season.
Trey Hendrickson was outstanding. I thought last night Malcolm Jenkins overall, he bounced back. He led the team in tackles. At least he was playing with energy and passion. I mean, I'm looking at tackle for a loss. He led the team in tackles, quarterback hurries. DeMario Davis. I think DeMario Davis is playing with a lot of passion. Like I said, Trey Hendrickson, he ended up having a quarterback hurry. But I kind of think that rotation.
They did a lot of it last night.
But then Sheldon, to me, Rankins, there was one time on the goal line, Cam came down, but Sheldon got blocked. It was like on one knee.
Yep.
Where David Onyemata, it seems like that wouldn't happen. You know the play I'm talking about on the goal line, Mike? So I'm disappointed again, Hollywood, like you said, the overall pass rush. Because the teams that are outstanding on defense, when you dial up a blitz and all that, that's all fine and dandy. But how about you get a pass rush and you have coverage with four guys? That drives a quarterback crazy. Believe you me, I can tell you that. It's like all of a sudden they're only rushing four and it's time to throw, get rid of the ball, and then there's nobody open.
You better get that pass rush situation straightened out. Detroit, if you're looking at the 32 teams, they probably 29 to 32 talent across the board. But one thing they got a guy that can spin it. If you get, you don't pressure him, Stafford's going to do that too. He can throw the football. So, man, that's very important. I talked about it last. I really thought last night was a must game for the Saints, understanding that. I know Sean has always talked about getting off to a fast start and that every year is different. And yeah, they did come back after a 0-2 start. But, man, that's tough now when you 1-2 because now the pressure is you got to win the next few games. There is no mulligan here.
Oh, no, you got to
win the next two games.
We already had the mulligan against the Raiders.
So
you can't have that against Mike. You can't have it against the Lions. You can't have it against Carolina. You can't have it against the Chargers or even like the Bears. I still think the Bears are pretenders. Now, do you think they're going to go with Nick Foles? It seems like
they're going to go with Nick now. Yeah. Come on. I mean that's it's obvious. They were just looking for the time to pull the plug on Trubisky and give it to Nick. And we'll see how long he can roll with it. Now, again, we talked about this yesterday. The Falcons, it's not just the fourth quarter. Now, it's in their heads.
Oh, yes.
It's in your head that something bad's going to happen here, and it's going to happen to us. And you've seen it back-to-back weeks. It has not happened in 20 years in the NFL. A team that had a 15-point lead in the first fourth quarter end up losing one game. They've lost them back-to-back games.
Back-to-back. Yeah, and so it shows you the Falcons has talent. And, Mike, that'd be one of those games you know they're going to come to play against the Saints. Look, they went on the road last year. They won in New Orleans. They won at San Francisco. So they're going to be that, like, spoiler. I'll tell you what, you know who's played well to me? Teddy Bridgewater with Carolina.
And it's limited.
Right, his role and how what they're asking him to do. Mike, I just think that he looks like a starter. You know what I mean? He's not going to be all-pro, Pro Bowl and all that, but he looks like a legit starter.
And yesterday you saw, man, the Chargers had that hook and lateral set up. Eckler just drops
catch the ball. Yeah, that's the flea flicker or, yeah, hook and ladder.
That hook whatever. And ladder.
Yeah, that you talk about that all the time. Okay, forever we desperate, and it would have worked. But you got to catch
it. Yeah, he had open field in front of him. Thank you, Hollywood. We appreciate the call. We're going to go to Pat and Ponchatoula. Pat, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for taking my call. I just wanted to put an observation out there. I was wondering what you guys think of this. I've noticed over the past few years the Saints have been really burning it during the season, and then they get in the playoffs, and they just – seem to lose a little bit of oomph, not that same intensity that they had during the course of the year. And I was wondering, perhaps this is really good for them because now they're really being challenged. They're being humbled. They're
right.
Made to think. They're made to think right now, are we as good as we think we are? And that perhaps this will build the character that they need if they get into the playoffs to prove to themselves they got what it takes. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, I think they laid an egg last year in the playoff game against the Vikings. Now, to go to the Super Bowl, come on, the nine call, even though you say, well, the Saints should have played even better in that game, but come on, you got ripped off, to be honest. The Minneapolis Miracle, Mike, if we'd have won, we'd have to go at Philadelphia, I think.
You wouldn't win in that game.
Yeah. So,
But you would have gotten there.
Right, we would have gotten there. So, playoff football versus the regular season. I know it's a lot different, the intensity and all what occurs. But I'm just telling you right now, you just can't show up. Even though you say on paper, you look, how you get to double-digit wins. There's no reason if we're heading in the right direction – we should lose at Detroit this Sunday. And we're going to be watching at 12 noon.
And you shouldn't lose to the Chargers.
On Monday night. And then, Mike, maybe you get a little well. You have a bye week. Who knows? And then this year, Carolina. Then everybody there. Well, Carolina's like the fourth best. You got them at home and then at Chicago. No, this is where you got to look. Because winning breeds confidence. If all of a sudden, it doesn't matter who you're beating. It's NFL team. You win four in a row. Then all of a sudden, you're getting back in the swing of things. But right now, the Saints are gotten humbled. That they cannot just show up, and it all started with that Raiders game. They're kind of like, they was like, man, we can beat Tampa Bay and Tom Brady and all that. Then you got, then we're going to go play in Las Vegas. And they got off to a great start. See, that is the thing that can get to you mentally. Well, even as a coach, how do you approach the team where all of a sudden, you didn't come ready to play? No, the Saints came ready to play against the Raiders. Just what happened in the second, third, and fourth quarter.
Raiders didn't do anything complicated. And again, you saw the genius of Belichick. Man, all this stuff, he's a cheater, and he does this, he's that. No, you watching the greatest coach in our lifetime as an NFL coach. What did Darren Waller do against him? and the Patriots.
He didn't do anything.
They took him out. And that we've had Rick Venturi on here so many times. Rick was on that staff with Belichick in Cleveland. His deal was, he said he didn't say a lot, but he'd walk into that kind of coach's room and say, guy, who is the best player they have? Take him out of the game. Make sure he doesn't beat us. Somebody else might, but their best player is not going to do it. And you saw it yesterday. They took that huge chunk out of that offense, and Derek Carr, he wasn't the same.
And Mike, the Saints, they should have known before the Raiders game because
– come on, it wasn't like 90 catches don't catch your attention.
He had 90 catches. He was second in the NFL behind Travis Kelce. And we were all talking about the running back. Yeah, the running back too. But when Derek Carr was passing, I think you got to almost force him to utilize the wide receivers and not let the tight end have one-on-one. Because we put different guys on him, but we didn't cover him. Now, you know, it was another guy. I mean, he was a free agent. He wasn't even drafted from Iowa State. Lazard. Man, I know some Lazard, some LaRose. I mean, that's the only time I've ever heard that last name, Mike. Like Johnny Lazard, and I know from the Bayou and stuff, and I go, whoa, here's a Lazard from Iowa State, a free agent, a big receiver, but look at the game he had.
They always, every year, Iowa State has one of those big, tall, lengthy receivers, and because they run the football a lot, you know, they aren't spotlighted in the passing game. Lazard goes to camp, man, and he's like, man, that guy's a keeper. And you see his size and his length, and listen, he's got some scoot to him for a big guy. Once he gets those long legs rolling, man, he's tough in the open field to bring down.
Well, he had that long gain, Mike, 72 yards, ended up with six catches, average of 24 and a half.
Now, that was a quarters coverage on that, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So the safety screwed up.
Right,
the safety didn't get over there fast enough. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870. Bobby Hebert, live from the studios here at WWL on Porter Street in New Orleans. We're going to go back to the telephone lines. Beth in Brandon, Mississippi. Beth, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. Who's that? How are y'all?
We fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I do have a couple of questions, and it'll be easy, easy, easy. First thing, I think that the Saints are the best in the conference. We may not be showing it, but I think we are. The first thing that I heard was that the Saints lost because of the new dome in L.A., in Vegas. And that was the same thing that we heard when the Saints won the homecoming after Katrina. And I just got a little bit funny about that, because you don't win because you get a new facility, right?
No, you don't. When the Saints opened up in 1967, they took the opening kickoff back for a touchdown,
yes.
And that was the highlight for about the next 7 years. Other than Dempsey's kick, that was probably the highlight for the next 20 years. But they didn't win that game, so no, I don't buy that at all.
Yeah, and then, listen, it's not like the Raiders came out the gate smoking, though. The Saints,
they dominated the first quarter of the game.
10 points, and then the Raiders came back. So, no, I don't buy that. It's an unbelievable facility, and hopefully they'll have fans in the future there where they truly can enjoy it. But no,
that brings me to my next. I think someone needs to step up on our defense, because we're not dominating on both sides of the field.
Right now I'm extremely disappointed, because in anticipation, we all thought the defense was going to be a lot better. Mike, I remember we were 11th overall, and I just said, boy, if we can have a top 10 offense and defense and have that kind of balance. And then you look at the game against Tampa Bay. Look how we won that game. Special teams and then the defense, right?
Right.
The Tampa, but, you know, I think the offense is going to come around where, look, we can run the ball. And Sean Payton needs to be patient with running the football. And then Drew Brees is still the quarterback to lead this team. And it's going to be interesting to see what does that mean. I mean, right now, first things first, you had said conference. I think you're probably meaning division. I still think we are the best in the NFC South. Now, Tampa Bay is 2-1, but we beat them head-to-head. We're going to get a chance to play them again. So what we're going to see what's going to happen. Look, the NFC East, the way it is, the Cowgirls might win by default.
They might win seven games.
Win the
NFC East.
Because the Eagles, yeah. Like the Giants and the Redskins. Mike, I don't know. The Redskins and the Giants, they might be two of the worst teams along with the Jets at the bottom of the NFL.
My thing about it is pressure breaks the pipe on defense. One thing this football team has to get back, and that's that ability to put pressure on the quarterback. Not every once in a while, only in a blitz, but with your front four. You got to do that. The good teams in this league, they have the ability to affect the quarterback. And they really haven't done much of last couple weeks.
We need our great players to play great.
Do you feel we get more penalties than some of the other teams in the league?
No, because you're making them.
Yeah.
When you get 37 penalties in three games, that's not a setup. You making them.
Now, they had the one, you can have examples of the horse collar.
That was a bad call. And even Taysom's penalty, that was just not knowing the rules by the officials at that point. But, man, even if you take that away, that's still 35 in three games.
Yeah.
That's a lot of penalties. That's a mental breakdown, mental mistakes out on the field.
Well, if you take that out, we still have three times more penalties than the Packers.
So that's still a ton. When they only have two penalties for 10 yards, you ain't winning those type games.
Those officials must have been from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Beth. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. We're finishing up here in hour number one of the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper casino-based show here on Poydras Street at WWL. And we want to thank everybody from the Silver Slipper. Always been great to us. And we'll have Dave Hilbert on at 5:10 today. Well, one of Beth's questions, Bobby, was about should they do away with ties in the NFL?
I think player safety, that's why they still have ties. And
they give you an overtime to finish it.
And it kind of makes it intriguing come the playoff situation down the road if a tie plays into it. So.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.